Let me first begin by expressing my great appreciation to Superintendent Dr. Bob Sutton for that very kind, very warm, very generous, very thoughtful, very provocative, very profound, and very truthful introduction. I came to First Manassas and then Second Manassas in part to find what I believe every American who visits these sites throughout the country comes to find, and that is answers to questions about who we are, how we've developed as a nation, the kind of people that we have become, and indeed reflect and ponder upon where our nation is indeed going. I am one of those few people who happens to believe that the events that occurred on these various battle sites throughout the country have had such profound implications and impact on everything about who we are and who we will become, that it's often important that we stop and reflect upon it. But before I begin with my remarks, I do want to take this opportunity to thank the Secretary of the Interior, Secretary Bruce Babbitt, for his outstanding work and commitment to these battle sites, not only throughout the South, but those few sites that exist in the North. To Director Stanton, in his absence, whom I had the great privilege of working with and discussing many of these ideas and thoughts. But most importantly, to Dr. Bob Sutton and the staff of this particular battle site, those members of the National Park Service who work so hard and who engage us in intellectual discussions, who engage our children, many of whom are not here today, but take field trips to this location. Sometimes they play devil's advocate on the side of the Union, other times they play devil's advocates on the side of the Confederacy. But whatever side they choose, in the final analysis, they are Americans, they are teachers, they are men and women who represent the very best that we have to offer in the federal government. Will you give those representatives of the Park Service who are here today an outstanding round of applause? Let's really hear it for them. Let's really hear it. I've got some prepared remarks that I wanted to read, but I'm going to set them aside because I think it most appropriate to share with you what I feel whenever I come to this battle site. Many of you see a young African-American standing here, but I am a young African-American congressman. I hail from the 2nd Congressional District of Illinois. I am a member of the House Appropriations Committee. That's the committee that funds the National Park Service. That's the committee that pays all of the guys around here with badges on. That's the committee that funds this park as well as other parks across our country. And so while I'm here as a young African American and a congressman, I'm also here in an official capacity because our committee in the Congress of the United States has oversight for these sites. When I was elected on December the 12th, 1995, I became the 91st African American to ever serve in the United States Congress. Number 91 out of 11,544 Americans who've had the privilege of serving in the United States Congress. Less than 103 have been African American since the very founding of our country. The first 22 African Americans were elected to Congress between 1870 and 1896, just 5 years after the Civil War, during the period known as Reconstruction, when the Union troops occupied many of the southern cities and states that had seceded from the Union. Those African Americans came to Congress full of hope, full of promise to rebuild and reconstruct an America where all Americans indeed would have the opportunity to participate. I stand and sit in the United States Congress today as a direct descendant of their efforts to make America better for all Americans. Whenever I come to this particular battlefield, or any battlefield for that matter, throughout the entire country, I can't help but stop and think about who I am. Just as those of you who are descendants of participants in this particular conflict often reflect upon what your great-great-great-grandfather or grandparents were thinking. We draw from them a sense of who we are today based upon those events. When I stand here, I can't help but think that the party for which I am now a member, the Democratic Party, was the party of Stonewall Jackson. It was the party of Robert E. Lee. It was the party of Jefferson Davis. It was the party that made the decision to secede from the Union because their states had a right to protect their private property interests. I can't help but think that when Abraham Lincoln was elected and before the first shot was fired at Fort Sumter under PGT Beauregard's leadership, Abraham Lincoln, seeking to keep the Union together and stop the expansion of slavery westward, that the sentiments around the issue of slavery had run so deep during that time that we were headed along a course of becoming two separate and apart nations. Professor Sutton, there's not a day that goes by that I don't have to think about these particular events. In Chicago, and if ever you're there, please stop by my home and visit, I live at 2559 East 72nd Street. I had to drive through Grant Park, past Stephen Douglas's tomb, to Lincoln Park, just to get the Chicago Historical Society, the museum, to study critical issues that confront our nation. I'm sorry, and through Camp Douglas. I don't want to ignore that reality in Chicago and in the North. But at the same time, I can't help but stop and reflect upon that which we have become as a nation. We are here today in part because, as one of the gentlemen stood here and said, we cannot consecrate this ground or this visitor center in better terms or in better ways than those who actually fought and died to make America better. This past 4th of July, when I stood in Lincoln Park speaking to many residents of that area about what it means to be an American, I had to reflect upon that. When we first separated ourselves from the colony during when we separated ourselves from England during the Revolutionary War, to be a citizen of Virginia, to be a citizen of South Carolina, to be a citizen from Massachusetts was the overriding theme for which all Americans associated themselves. We were not a union of states because when we separated ourselves during the revolutionary period, the federal government had not been formed. In a real sense, it was this war that transformed us from being a United States of America, that is, small u, our own state, I'm from Virginia, I'm from Chicago, that transformed us from being provincial in our approach to each other to being a national union of states. It really was Gettysburg when Abraham Lincoln stood there and substituted the Declaration of Independence for the Constitution by suggesting that all men and women are created equal and should be treated equally, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the face of the earth. And so when I see Americans on the 4th of July, Professor Sutton, waving the American flag, where there are 50 stars and stripes on that flag, they're not really celebrating our separation from the King of England, because taxation without representation is tyranny. If they're celebrating 50 stars that have joined together and found themselves in a union where no American should be left behind, they're really celebrating what Mr. Lincoln did at Gettysburg and the tide of turning that war into a union victory that has assured that every American would be guaranteed equal opportunity, fairness, justice, and the kind of security that every American had received before that time. And so when I stand here at Manassas and reflect upon the struggle that our ancestors made, whatever side of the war you might have found yourself on, today we are all the better as a people because we fought it out, we bled it out, and when it was over, we moved on. Still, some questions remain unaddressed, challenges that are still before us. Even as I stand here today, some of the unfinished business of that war was how women were treated and how they would be treated going into the future. Women in our society still make 70 cents to the dollar of what men make, and yet they cannot buy bread cheaper, They cannot pay rent cheaper. They cannot go to the University of Virginia cheaper. They deserve comparable worth, pay equity. And this is the unfinished business of the conflict that took place in this location 138 years ago. The fact that every American is entitled to health care. Here I am, a member of Congress, and whenever I get sick, Bob, I check into a hospital anywhere in the country, indeed anywhere in the world, and I never have to look back on a health care bill or some bill associated with my health, simply because I'm a member of Congress. But I'm an American. If it's good enough for me as a member of Congress, it ought to be good enough for every Virginian, it ought to be good enough for every person from New York, it ought to be good enough for every Illinoisan, it ought to be good enough for everybody. This is the unfinished business of that war. And so we've transformed ourselves from a nation warring on battlefields over critical questions. Should the states have the right or the power to address health care? Should the states advance the cause of women in terms of pay equity? Or should that be the national government's responsibility? Do we want more big government programs that grab Americans who've been left behind while many Americans are participating in unparalleled economic growth? I read just the other day as I prepared to close that Bill Gates and the top three officers, for example, at Microsoft, have personal assets of $140 billion. More personal assets than 43 countries and 600 million people. I'd be very interested in seeing what the comparison of their personal assets are to the entire state of Virginia, or to the entire state of Georgia, or to the entire state of Alabama, or to the entire regions of our country that have been economically left behind. These are the unfinished battles that are still before us. Indeed, another generation has come to this location, not only to hallow it, but to pay homage to those on both sides who fought to make America different and to make America better. We are all the more better and all the greater as a nation because men and women paid the ultimate sacrifice that we might change and make our world and our nation better. Thank you, and God bless you all.